Parshas Kisavo, at the end of the parsha, the long end of the parsha, you have the Tovcha. It starts off by saying, if you do good and you behave properly, some good things will happen. You'll have financial success, and there'll be rain, economical, agricultural success. There'll be all sorts of wonderful things. Unfortunately, if you don't listen to my words and you deviate from my Torah mitzvahs, you do bad things, so then bad things will happen. And the pasuk continues a little bit later on, tells you exactly why these things happen. Pasuk in Chavches, pasuk Mem Hei says, "Yivarei lecha kol hakol se'elar u'ezukucha v'tzigucha adi shamdecha." Why? "Ki lo shemat v'kol shem l'kach l'shmem etzasav v'kosev asher tivach." Because he didn't listen to God, and the pasuk either gives a second reason or explains further. The pasuk Mem Zayin, 2 seconds later, it says, "Tachas asher lo avadatach Hashem l'kacha v'simcha v'tzub levav me'rov kol." Because he didn't serve Hashem, your God, the simcha, the tzub levav, merov kol. Rashi has an interesting read to that. What does it mean, merov kol? Va'ot shehaya l'cha kol tov. As long as things were once upon a time good for you. Meaning, when things were good for you, you didn't serve God. If you didn't serve God, when things were good for you, so God made things bad. That's how Rashi reads the pasuk. Tachas asher lo avadatach Hashem l'kacha. When did you not serve God? At the tekufa, at the time period of b'simcha u'b'tzub levav merov kol, when things were good for you, when things were going well for you, when you were successful, and you didn't serve Hashem, Hashem made it worse. And I guess the religious message is a simple one, which is, it's easy to forget Hashem when things are good. People very often think, v'kochim, v'kochi, v'ot miyod yasiti et achayil hazeh, you think that you're so great, you think you're so wonderful. When things are not as good, it's a lot easier to find God. The expression in English is there's no atheist in a foxhole, which basically means it's very easy not to believe in God. When you really, really, really need it, people start coming around. People start beginning to believe in God. So people start feeling connected to Hashem. There's no Arachim, the last expression out there, some details of it that points out the more you need Hashem, the more difficult life is, very often the closer you feel to Him. And I guess the point is that when life is going well, when life is Baruch Hashem good, when things are under control and you feel financial and when social and successful just in life. So don't deviate from Hashem. Don't move away from Hashem. Once in a while, Hashem, like I said, on a very simple level, things are good and you don't realize you need me, so I'll make you need me by having things being bad. One of the goals of punishment is to need Hashem. You said you didn't need Hashem, I'll make you need me. Hashem wants us to look for Him, to find Him, to feel connected to Him. If we don't feel that way, Hashem very often puts us in situations where we feel the need to connect to Him more, to feel the need to have Him more. I've said that very, very often in my life. You know, a week before a test, I've never actually really davened hard for that test. Sometimes the night before, and very often during that test, I find myself davening with a lot more kavanah while I'm taking the test than beforehand. And again, the more one feels like it, sometimes I find myself in a situation where I just totally screwed up. This person doesn't get the point. This doesn't make sense. This crazy. Everything's just terrible. That's when I really know how to adapt to that. And sometimes this emotional connection, the need to have Hashem, allows us to connect further. And that can be one of the reasons why Hashem brings the Tovah to us. Not just that you sin, you get punishment. But part of the reason why you feel distance from Hashem, things are not as good, is that you should want to reconnect to that desire, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara in the second leader calls. I'm sorry, the pasuk in Eichel, it talks about the discussion of Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, it calls it, because Yerushalayim a Nida. What's a Nida? The Gemara in Sech Nida describes it as temporary separation in order to have a closeness later on. People understand how the world, the law, and the halakha of Nida are captured by that idea. And as well as Yerushalayim, the more we're in Golis, the more we feel distance, the more we don't feel close to Hashem, the more you have a need to feel close to Hashem. And it's important to recognize this hashkafically, and more important that when things are good, not to give Hashem a need to make us have bad things, to feel connected to God, not to give ourselves full credit, but to recognize and feel close to our Kaddish Baruch Hu even when things are going well, to appreciate the good, to be makatov, etc., etc. But there's another way to read this pasuk besides the way Rashi reads it. It's not tachas asher lo avadatach Hashem l'kacha. When did you not serve God? B'simcha u'b'tzub levav merov kol, when things were good. But rather, not describing when you didn't serve God, but how you didn't serve God. It could be that you were But you didn't do it with simple people. You did do mitzvahs, but you didn't do them happily. You did them out of pressure, out of routine, with sadness, out of avoiding, you know, punishment, out of bira, but not out of avod. It could be the person needs tachat asher lo avadtem es Hashem lokecha. You didn't serve Hashem happily. It's not that when you were happy, you didn't serve Hashem. But rather, you didn't serve Hashem happily. And the difference would be whether or not we're adding on a new reason to the previous process or explaining the previous process to the first reason. And this seems to be the pshat that the Sefilas Hasharim has. The Sefilas Hasharim talks about serving Hashem b'simcha and the complete shleimus of Avodas Hashem. Quotes this pasuk and says, you see, here you're supposed to serve Hashem with joy, with simcha, with pleasure, with positivity. And I guess my question is a simple one. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu value us serving Him happily? If we do His mitzvahs, isn't that good enough? If we listen to what Hashem says, isn't that suffice? If I put on my tefillin, and even if I do it for lishma reasons, I'm doing it because Hashem says so, and I love Jews, and I do everything I'm supposed to do, what's this value of happiness? Why is that a goal? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care about that? I'd like to suggest a thought, share with you a thought, which I think has two angles on it, which will help solve this problem. If I took a pause and said, what do you value in your life? What do you care about? Make a list of everything that you value in your life. Make a list of everything you ever wanted. Make a list of everything you ever wished for. And we took everyone's list together and combined it with everyone in the entire world and everyone who ever lived. Bukhara, the list would have a tremendous amount of things on it. However, essentially there are only two. I believe that anything anyone ever wanted can be classified or characterized into one of two specific things. Most things, if not everything, we want is because it's the means to get us to one of two ends. There are only really two ends that we want. There are only two things deep down that we really want in life. The first thirst, hunger, we have, I think, is for a life that is happy, enjoyable, pleasurable. People want to enjoy life. People want to be happy in life. The reason why you want to feel free is because you think it will bring you happiness. The reason why you be famous or have money is because you think it will bring you happiness. The reason why you think you want to be rich is because it will bring you happiness. People want happiness. And these are all means to get there. And the second one is not pleasure and happiness, the truth, meaning, value. I want to walk out at 120 when I leave this world and have this be real with me. I want to live a truthful life, a meaningful life, a purposeful life, a life of inherent value. And I think if you ask, everything we want in life is in order just to give us one of those two things. I really believe that. Either to give us truth, or to give us happiness. And I think stronger, this is a little more chachanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah to quench our two thirsts. He created us with two thirsts and gave us Torah to quench them both. Torah is supposed to give us the outlet for meaning, for value, for truth. After all, God's the one who defines what truth is. God's the one who defines what meaning is. Any meaning that doesn't come from God is not a meaning I necessarily feel the obligation to accept. I couldn't imagine an objective purpose, an objective moral code, an objective value system that didn't come from God. If it came from another person, if from anywhere else, I don't understand why I'd have to have it. It'd be your own subjective value system, your own subjective code of morals, your own subjective scale of what has worth and what doesn't. The only way something can have real, objective, universally accepted worth is if God said so. I couldn't imagine another being giving me such a heavy stamp of approval. And therefore, it's God Himself who tells me this is what's valuable. That's why I want it. But it's more than that. I also want to live a life of happiness. I want to enjoy what I'm doing. And I think a lot of that comes from this pasuk. That when you serve God, it's not just to serve God happily, but to serve God with, not just to serve God with sincerity, but to serve God in a happy way. And it's not the Torah comes, because Tachas Lo Avad Hashem Lo Kecha, B'Simcha U'B'Tuv Leva Barov Mirov Kol. The ones who serve God in a happy way, I think stronger. And if you look around, people who only look for one of these two find neither. Most people in my life who only looked, who I've met, who only looked for happiness found neither. They found themselves on drugs, they found themselves feeling hollow, they found themselves drunk, they found themselves empty. I had a cousin who woke up one morning and didn't remember his name. of life is looking for happiness. Couldn't find it. Sometimes he felt hollow and empty, and the more he tried to fill himself up with substances, the more at the end of the day he felt more empty when they wore off. And you find some people out where all they do is look for truth and truth and truth and truth, and they end up becoming like condescending, negative people with a pejorative perspective on life. They're the only ones who have found truth. The rest of the world has nothing good in it. They sit back in the ivy towers and smoke their pipes and talk about how they know the sophistication, the truth of the world, and they're miserable people, and their perspective is skewed. It's just so negative. They don't have ability to see content. It's also lacking truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live truthful, meaningful life. And I'll try my best to prove it. I'll try to explain it a little further. If I told you, I want you to do the most meaningful, purposeful thing you can ever do. Live a real life of meaning and truth. Come touch my cell phone. You may be skeptical that touching my cell phone is really so purposeful. I doubt that. But if I really said it seriously and I brought up a good argument, of course you would do it, but it's very easy. There's no reason. You have very little to lose by touching my cell phone. It's about a 3-second investment that requires no sweat off your back. However, if I replace touching my cell phone with living a life of the Lord of Hashem, it becomes more complicated. If I said the most meaningful thing you could do is listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to God, it's a lot more likely that that's true. There's a lot more, it's a greater likelihood that there's intrinsic meaning in serving Hashem, doing what He wants, than there is in touching a cell phone. But the trade-off is much greater. I can't touch what I want to touch. I can't sleep when I want to sleep. I can't eat what I want to eat. I have to wake up and do this and don't do that. It's much more of a boxed and restricting life. Now, Rabbi, I understand if you tell me give 100% to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem would come out of Shamayim and prove it to me, so maybe I would give it my all. But if I'm only 51 to 99% sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, I'd expect me to commit 100%. I'd expect me to commit 100% to something I only believe in 51 to 99%. It's a fair question. I went to discuss this with my dad, and he made a suggestion, a good mashal. I think it's suggested about the second Shabbos, I think it would be better. Dagger type like a marriage. You came home to your wife and said, listen, honey, I am 90% sure you're the right one. Let's get married. But being that I'm only 90% sure, well, you'll understand if I'm unfaithful one out of every 10 nights. If I don't come home every week or two, so you understand that, but you can't expect me to commit more than I believe in. And the truth is, for real relationship, the truth is that a business as well. If you're interested in making your business work and you're 70% sure it'll work and you put in 70% of the effort, it's much less likely to work than you put in 100% of the effort, even though you're only 70% sure. There are certain things that if you want them to work well, you've got to put in 100%, even if you're not 100% sure it's going to work. That's the way the world is. And there's a truth to that. But there's a second level, which is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to commit 100%, but was afraid maybe people would not commit because they're making a tremendous sacrifice. What that sacrifice is? Happiness. I don't know if I live a religious life, I'll be happy. I don't know if I commit fully, I'll enjoy it. I'll find the same pleasure out of it. It may be purposeful and meaningful, but for me, I also have a second value I want in life. I don't just want to live a meaningful life and a purposeful, truthful life. I want to be happy in this world. So how does God expect man to commit if what? It's a huge sacrifice. So people very often figure out the proper balance, right? In other words, which mitzvahs are the ones that God really cares about, and which are the ones that I can sacrifice on and live my life as a happier life. Nagi is one of the first things to go, you with me? Understandably so, because like God doesn't really care about that in terms of making me happy. I grew up keeping Shabbos. Okay, basketball and Shabbos maybe doesn't really count for Shabbos. But like I grew up keeping Shabbos, I'm not going to drive a car, I'm not going to turn on a television, you know what I'm saying? I'd feel bad if I did that. I wouldn't find true or happiness. But, you know, I know which of the mitzvahs I'm supposed to keep and which not. The ones that make me really happy, the ones I really want to, you know, once I mean, if I'm hungry, I'm going to cook some pickles. But I don't know, I got to take a sacrifice. But come on, the other mitzvahs. I think what Kosh Rossi did was, he made religion both truthful and happy, and a happy and fulfilling religion. There are mitzvahs like Simchas Yontav and owning Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to sleep with your wife Friday night. The goal is people should be happy with religion. There are many other mitzvahs. We'll talk about maybe some other point now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to serve Him on one level in a happy way because ensure full commitment. It's difficult to commit fully if you know you're sacrificing happiness. I tell you, if Jesse Horn, if I lived 120 years, and I die, and it turns out there's no God in my life, no God in the world, turns out the whole thing is a bluff, I'm wrong, religion is incorrect, I'll still feel completely satisfied with the life I live. I'm very happy. I enjoy it. I also think I'm living the most peaceful life I can. The fact that I can combine both is unbelievable, because the two thirsts that I have are being quenched in all one shot. But more than just being a technical way of ensuring people commit, happiness has a second level to it. It's not just a way of ensuring people commit to frumkeit. There's an intrinsic value because it allows people to live a frum life, a committed lifestyle, being dedicated and fully committed without having regret, with minimizing the apologetics. Not on a philosophical level, but on an emotional level. Philosophically, I'm open to questions. But it's much healthier not to ask yourself every day, should I be firm or should I not? Should I commit to this or should I not? Should I do mitzvahs or should I not? Philosophically, you want to ask a million questions, I'm all for it. But it's unhealthy emotionally, spiritually, religiously to ask yourself every other day, should I live a life with never the And one of the most soothing, comforting thoughts that allows you to live a life with never the is the fact that you know you're not just living a truthful life, but a happy one as well. And it could be the value that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is striving at over here. It's living a life fully committed to purpose and meaning and Torah and MS. But on the other hand, allowing people to quench the other thirst they have, which is being happy, living a life of pleasure and enjoyment. And I think that's what's going on in the bus. Have a chance.